From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, Ag News 890, Lisbon and Fargo, as well as Farm and Country, Thunder 106.1, also in Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. Well, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are now out with their tax plans. And it should come as no surprise, there are significant differences in key areas that affect agriculture. Now, Clinton would keep taxes the same for most Americans, but add an extra bracket for the highest earners to help pay for programs like free college for students from low and middle income families. Now, Trump proposes three tax brackets and cutting the corporate tax rate in half. Of keen interest to agriculture, Trump proposes ending the estate tax or death tax entirely. Clinton would reduce how much can be excluded from the tax and raise the tax rate above current levels. Now, Ohio Republican Steve Stivers, during last year's House debate and vote to end the estate tax that failed to achieve in the Senate, says the tax actually destroys farms.
Unfortunately, when you have the power to tax something, you have the power to destroy it. And when these assets trigger the tax in the death tax, what many times happens is part of the family farm or part of the family business has to be sold and liquidated, taken away from the family just to pay the tax collector.
He argued family farms should be available to pass to the next generation what's already been taxed instead of paying more taxes. Meanwhile, both presidential candidates want to bring back jobs to the U.S. from overseas through tax breaks or incentives, but Trump would put new regulations on hold. Proposed rules like the EPA's Waters of the U.S. rule are seen as a threat to agriculture. House Transportation and Infrastructure Chair Bill Schuster, a Pennsylvania Republican, earlier this year commented the rule was a power grab by the EPA.
Every day I hear from farmers, home builders, small businesses, and others in my district, and some have told me, some farmers have said they won't be able to pass on their family farm because of the cost associated with this power grab. And as I said, I have no doubt that's what's going to happen. This will continue to expand if we don't stop it.
And, of course, further, both candidates oppose the Trans-Pacific Partnership that could bring billions of dollars in new income to farmers. Trump wants to renegotiate trade deals in favor of the U.S. Clinton's help to negotiate TPP as Secretary of State. Then she switched her mind and now opposes that agreement. So the Trans-Pacific Partnership, unless it gets done in the lame duck session this year, could be difficult once we get into next year. We'll be back with more right after this. As we continue on with what's going on inside agriculture, well, antitrust regulators in the European Union are opening a full investigation into the Dow-DuPont proposed $130 billion merger. Now, the regulators say the deal may reduce competition in crop protection and seed markets. The European Commission said the merger may also hurt innovation. That according to Reuters. The merger would create the world's largest integrated crop protection and seeds company. One EU commissioner said of the investigation that we need to make sure the proposed merger does not lead to higher prices. The regulators have delayed a final decision until December 20th. Now, both Dow and DuPont said the companies would work with the commission to address its concerns. Both still expect the deal to close by the end of the year. Well, consumers want to know what's in their food, even if they don't understand what that food is. Well, Tony St. James has more in this report.
I think every food company listens closely to their consumers.
Steve Armstrong is Senior Food Law Counsel with Campbell's Soup Company.
We have to in order to survive and to bring them the kinds of foods that they want. There's no question now that there is a considerable consumer desire for, you know, what we at the Campbell's Soup Company call real food. And for us, it's not so much technology-driven as food that's authentic. Now, a subpart of that is, yes, consumers want less things in their food that they don't understand, you know, ingredients that they see and really can't comprehend. I see it's going to gradually go in that direction of simplifying foods and making them easier to for consumers to understand what's in their food. Now, I think one of the benefits of this legislation is it provides an opportunity to demonstrate that foods that come from GMO crops are real foods. They're no different from with respect to the things that make a food, right? Taste, aroma, nutrition, texture. Those things are the same, whether the technology was applied. Now, legally, if the technology leads to a difference in one of those critical functional attributes, that has to be disclosed on the label. I see this as evolving toward, hopefully, greater clarity about how this technology is used and what it brings to the table for the greater, you know, coalition of food companies and the agricultural sector. And in that respect, I mean, we talked a little bit about overcoming the noise that the anti-biotech crowd. I think it's going to take a coalition of food industry, farmers, the whole agricultural sector, to really get the point across that, you know, GMO food is food.
Sean Stevens is global food safety lawyer, founding member of the Food Industry Council.
I love the terms real and authentic, and I really do believe strongly that success is tied to trust. Consumer feeling, and I'm speaking as a consumer and as a lawyer in the food industry, you know, this gets back to that, what would 12 jurors think, right? What would I think? And trust, transparency, and communication. And I do think that those concepts are going to be elevated as we move forward in the next few years for a couple of reasons, in part because of other things that are happening in the industry. I predict we'll see and it's happening already with ranging from Bluebell, Dole, CRF with its frozen vegetable recall, and other recent examples. By virtue of some of the things that FDA is doing, including you know, swabathons and food processing facilities now during routine inspections, and comparing the findings of Listeria in a drain to the PulseNet database, which houses 15 years of people who have gotten sick from foods that they ate, a lot of these outbreaks are going to be solved, so to speak, as we move forward in the next few years, and we're going to see a larger number of recalls associated with human illness. And as a result, I think that is also going to drive consumer perceptions, where they will be sort of looking for, right, the company they can trust, the company that, you know, they can purchase that food and it's A, going to be nutritious, B, they're going to know what's in it, but C, and probably most importantly, it's not going to make, you know, their children sick. So I think all of these are very interrelated, and I think this concept of real, authentic, and safe is going to be elevated, at least in the next couple of years, as this sort of plays itself out.
From Milwaukee, I'm Tony St. James.
And we're going to talk about ag credit conditions deteriorating. That's up next. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. While agriculture credit conditions in the Midwest continued to deteriorate in the second quarter of 2016, as farm income remained subdued. Now, that's according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City survey of agricultural credit conditions released yesterday. Nearly 75% of bankers within the 7-state 10th district of the Federal Reserve Bank of the Midwest reported farm income was less than a year ago. Persistent declines in farm income have continued to pressure agricultural credit conditions, that according to the survey. Now, the KC Fed also notes demand for non-real estate farm loans and loan renewals continued to climb as slimmer profit margins pulled down the rate of loan repayments. Almost half of all respondents reported loan repayment rates in the second quarter were lower than a year ago. Although bankers continued to report ample credit was available for borrowers who are in strong financial position, the higher rate of loan denials suggests the number of farm borrowers who are less creditworthy has increased over the past year. Also, when it comes to Inside Agriculture, California farmer and nursery owner John Duarte is continuing his legal fight against the Army Corps of Engineers, who's pressing the WOTUS rule on Duarte. Now, Duarte warns this could happen to any farmer in America.
Food company listens closely to their consumers.
Steve Armstrong is senior food law counsel.
John Duarte is up to $1.5 million in private defense costs trying to face off the Army Corps of Engineers who demanded that tillage stop on his field that was being prepared for wheat a few years ago. At odds is that the feds thought the person on a tractor and pulling a shallow plow was disturbing what's known as vernal pools or low spots in the field that may be wet. John Duarte.
The Clean Water Act really meant to exclude. The Clean Water Act said navigable waterways of the United States. Now, under a few court decisions and agency actions, these have been included as regulatory waters of the United States.
And besides farming, Duarte also owns a diversified nursery in Stanislaus County. And in an effort to ring the fire bell on what is happening and to get some help on his legal bills, Duarte made a trip to Washington recently.
We went to the American Farm Bureau. Paul Wenger from California Farm Bureau has provided a lot of leadership here and met with the leaders in American Farm Bureau Federation. American Farm Bureau and California Farm Bureau together are setting up a broad funding effort. They're raising money for us, for the Duarte family and Duarte Nursery, to defend this lawsuit and take it to the mat. If we lose this suit and it becomes established that growers tilling 4 to 7 inches deep are on the hook for millions in penalties, if we lose this suit and find out that we have no due process rights with the agencies, and if we do assert them, they can retaliate against us with these kind of erroneous claims, agriculture is going to have a hard time thriving.
And Duarte means nationally, and he's serious.
It's going to affect family farms throughout America. It's going to create enormous liabilities for farm families throughout America. If they can come to the Duartes and say, your shallow tillage of 14 acres of dark spots in the grass and low spots on the ground is what this amounts to, makes you liable for millions in penalties, basically extracting from us what they think we can pay, and they're wrong. Any farm family in America could be subject to the same kinds of prosecutions. It's very serious. The American Farm Bureau Federation sees it as serious. The Pacific Legal Foundation has given a great effort towards asserting the constitutional issues here. But we need to defend ourselves, and we need all of the appropriate resources necessary to defend ourselves thoroughly, take this to the mat here in the district court, take it through the Ninth Circuit Court, and take several of these issues all the way to the Supreme Court if we have to.
I'm Patrick Cavanaugh reporting.
Well, I'll tell you what, waters of the U.S. rule needs to go away. And this is a situation that really makes no sense whatsoever. We'll take a break here. And when we come back, guess what? It's coming up next week, Dakota Fest. We'll talk about that next. Well, as we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture on this Friday, yep, it's just next week. We started the farm show tours, and we hit Farm Fest last week. This week, we got off. Next week, we're going to Mitchell, South Dakota. Dakota Fest is one of the 5 farm shows produced by the IDEA Ag Group each year, and it's owned by the American Farm Bureau Federation, opening Tuesday in Mitchell, South Dakota. Dakota Fest offers 3 days of activities for farmers. Dan Durheim, Executive Director of Industry Affairs for AFBF, says that show is unique.
It is a very balanced show between livestock as well as row crops. You will actually find cattle displays and cattle handling displays, and then cutting-edge, high-quality technology things that are happening in row crops. I think the other piece that's unique is there's a lot of community support that happens at the show.
Now, this year, attendees will notice a new attraction. The Reeves Building, an innovation technology campus.
Reeves Building Systems actually has put together a 3-building campus for us in the northwest corner of the grounds. That includes the Innovation and Technology Exhibit and the Dakota Fest Education Center, which is sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Now, Durheim says South Dakota Farm Bureau plays a leading role in the show as well.
Our newly elected president, Mr. Zippy Duval, will actually be on the show site on Tuesday and Wednesday morning. Also this year, South Dakota Farm Bureau is putting on a members-only event after hours on Tuesday evenings.
Well, you can go to DakotaFest.com to get a complete list of events going on. And, of course, if you can't make it to the show, join us as Farm Talk and guess what? I'll be at Dakota Fest as well. That's Inside Agriculture. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.